Greetings again, everyone. This is Gary Miller bringing you the good news of the coming kingdom of Yahweh. We're working on the theme of what the world needs now. A variety of different ideas always emerge. We have all kinds of think tanks to provide answers to the problems that the world has. We have the World Bank. We have the International Monetary Fund. We have all these different things, these vehicles. We have a tremendous number of foundations in this country that are designed to solve the problems that men have. We obviously have a very elaborate medical profession in this country as well as worldwide. And the whole purpose is to try to solve our problems. We have problem-solving sessions. We have all these things designed to bring men away from the consequences that he finds himself in to be able to produce the good life as the norm. But what is happening, despite all this effort and this money and effort that's put into this, is that we are finding more and more problems. It seems like when we solve one problem, two more erupt. So what that tells us is we need to step back from our approaches and rethink the situation and see, are we actually approaching these problems from the correct point of view? You know, if you don't know the actual causes involved for any type of problem that you're trying to solve, you're likely not to solve it, and if you do, the solution is not going to be something that's lasting. It might be a momentary thing. Now, we've had problems with drought. We've had problems, obviously, with producing enough food in this world, and the Green Revolution was supposed to solve that problem. Actually, it started in Mexico, I believe it was. Different places of money was dumped into a fund by the Rockefeller Foundation, I believe it was, years ago, in order to try to solve the problem of producing enough food, because you can see as we have 6-point-something billion people in the world, these people have to be fed. So people that look at these things can see that in order to solve these problems, there are some broad principles that have to be applied. So they look at these things and say, well, we need to produce more crops. We need to produce bumper crops. Well, when we tried the Green Revolution, what happened is it was fertilizer, basically, that created chemical farming for us. And as a result, we found that by solving it one way, we created problems several other ways. And that's pretty much what mankind has done. We solve one problem, we use a solution, I'll put it that way, and we find in the long term several other problems created as a result of that. Now, that results from not knowing what the fundamental causes are. And when we had the financial meltdowns that we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years, you can't help but wonder what is the cause. I mean, what's going on here? When you see the automotive industry tank, at least in 2009, it was at about 9.1 million units in February, and that was a 27-year low for the automobile industry. And when you see the joblessness affecting all the nations of the world, basically, millions of migrant workers in China were looking for work, trying to find something to do, and the factories were closed. In Great Britain, there was protests because jobs were given to non-British immigrants. In 2009, the French employment minister said, this is the worst we've seen since 1929. So these are serious problems. India alone, which really has had a rising star on the economic world scene for the last several years, had a staggering 500,000 job losses from October to December of 2008. So when you look at these problems, you see the U.S. economy still losing over 500,000 jobs per month as private employers chop thousands of jobs here and there. You have to wonder, are we in an abyss that we can't get out of? Is there a way out of this problem, way out of these tremendous problems? Well, when you look at the solutions that have been tried and you see the results of that, you realize that the same solutions are not to be used over and over and over, the same attempts. Now, one time somebody defined insanity as trying the same thing over and over getting a bad result, but expecting a different result. So when we tried a massive bailout of $700 billion by the U.S. Congress to struggling financial institutions and S&Ls and banks and so on, we find that the economic problem, employment-wise, has not improved. In fact, $300 billion of that $700-plus billion evaporated almost without a trace. I think really many were laughing all the way to the bank. And in this rush of bailouts, Congress doled out massive chunks of $25 billion here and $25 billion there. As one congressman said, a billion here and a billion there, pretty soon it adds up to some real money. So when you talk about giving away $25 billion here and there, Ireland pumped $560 billion into their economy. India pumped $60 billion into their economy, trying to stave off the inevitable. In fact, as they fought the problem, Congress threw every ounce of money and policy they could to try to stop this problem. But you see, it didn't work. And so we see the same thing happening over and over. We think, well, if that bailout didn't work, I'll try another bailout. If that bailout doesn't work, I'll try another one. No, you back off and you think about something else. Are there some natural laws that we're overlooking here? Are there some natural laws that we've missed somewhere along the line? Yes, there are. There are some natural laws. The Bernard Madoff Ponzi scheme that built billions of dollars from people was one of those situations where you wonder, was that Yahweh's instrument by which he was exerting or having the consequences reaped for people stealing from him? You know, Yahweh expects something from us. In fact, he gives us every breath of air we breathe. He gives us every bite of food that we have. So he does expect offerings. And if we do not give those offerings, then we are robbing Yahweh. In fact, that's what the prophet Malachi said. He said that we are robbing Yahweh in tithes and offerings. Now, you have to be careful with that, because once you mention the word tithing, people automatically think, well, that's tithing on money. Well, I see why it does not teach tithing on money. We teach tithing on produce. We have a booklet that explains this. I invite you to write for it. It's called Biblical Tithing Is Not on Money. So when you learn the truth about tithing, that's the tithe that Yahweh expects. Also, we're required to give to the poor and widows and orphans. It says in Exodus 23:11, Leviticus 23:22, and Deuteronomy 15:28-29. Also in John 13:29, Yahshua, the night that he was betrayed by one of his disciples, the disciples asked him, do you want us to give something to the poor? That was their norm. That's what they did. So giving to the poor, the widows and orphans, is what's something that's supposed to be done. But these are things that ward off the economic problems. You see, if you steal from Yahweh, sooner or later you have to pay back. And the payback is very difficult in many cases. I know the old phrase that people don't give sometimes because they say charity begins at home. The problem with that is, to their shame, that charity usually ends at home. We reap what we sow. You know, Yahweh's made the laws that if we steal from Yahweh, then we will reap that as a consequence. Yahweh also has special times in which we're supposed to give to him. Timing is very important. And the reason I'm mentioning these laws is because these are laws that help alleviate the problem of economic woes. These are the reasons why economies tank. See, as experts have looked at all the different problems that have been created, the economic woes of the past few years, and over the last 100 years, they've looked at the economic problems. They try to come up with a solution, but invariably they leave Yahweh out of the picture. Now, isn't that odd? You know, if you knew that there was someone who controlled everything, who created certain natural laws by which everything operates, from electricity to gravity to economics, If you knew there's a being like that, would you not consult him? Wouldn't it be wise to consult him to see what he has to say? Well, that seems like a reasonable thing to do. And the Bible talks about a being, mentioned 7,000 times in Scripture, who says, I am the Creator, and I know these laws, these blessings and cursings. You can avoid the cursings and get the blessings if you do what I say. Now, there's a being that says that, and there's a book that records this being's comments, this great Creator that created a universe, which we can't even fathom, says that these solutions are contained in the word which he had written by Moses. Moses recorded some of these things. And he says, these are the solutions. If you will do these things, he says, these blessings will come on you. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh will set you on high above all nations, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you will hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Now, you don't hear religion in general talk about natural laws, but those natural laws are there, and that's part of the good news of the coming kingdom of Yahweh, is to reveal these laws so that man will know what he's doing wrong. That's the whole idea. See, if we don't know what we're doing wrong, we can't correct the problem. Now, if we want an end to terrorism, then there's a way to do that. Leviticus 25 and verse 18, here's what it says. Wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And notice what it says. And you shall dwell in the land in safety. Safety. We have 50,000 people a year killed on the highways. We lost 50,000 men in Vietnam. That's not safety. Yahweh says if we will do his statutes, he will show us the way. He will inspire us to understand the way to safety and peace. Psalms 91 and verse 5. And you shall not be afraid for the terror by night. Wouldn't that be wonderful if there's no reason to ever fear? You could walk the street any time of day or night that you want to and never have to fear. That's what Yahweh promises. He promises safe cities. Blessed shall you be in the city, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 3. And blessed shall you be in the field, produce bumper crops, the likes of which we've never seen. Amos 9 and verse 13, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. When has that ever happened in the memory of mankind? When has it ever happened that we've had bumper crops so great you couldn't get them out of the field until it's time to start sowing again? Well, these are the promises Yahweh has. And these are not empty promises. They're guaranteed in writing. They're backed by the government of Yahweh. That's a much better backed statement than backed by the U.S. government or any other government. Well, you need to get your name on the mailing list of the Insight magazine. Published by the International Congregation of Yahweh. You can contact us online at icyahweh.org. That's icyahweh, icyahweh.org, icyahweh.org. Or you can contact us by mail by writing ICY, Post Office Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas, 72455, USA. That's ICY, Post Office Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas, 72455, USA. Until next time, this is Gary Miller, and I thank you for listening.